Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin daf Ayin Vav. We left off on daf Ayin Heim and Beis about 12 lines before the end of the page. We were in the middle of discussing the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar had said on the bottom of Ayin Heim and Aleph that Kuti is not allowed to marry a Kutis. The Gemara is going to have six explanations as to why a Kuti cannot marry a Kutis. We saw three of them yesterday. The other three we're going to see today. Then that's going to take us all the way to the Mishnah. Then at the Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to discuss how far one has to check into the Yichus of a girl before marrying her, and which people you can stop checking with. At what point do you see along the line of Yichus that there is someone held such a position where they must have been a Miyuchas? And the Gemara is going to talk about why all the checking seems to be done into the mothers of the girls as opposed to the fathers, and also why the girls don't check into the guys, why the Yichus check is only done by a guy who wants to marry a girl. The Gemara on Amud Beis is going to go through the reasons that you don't have to be bodek after a person is already established to be al mizbeach, to do avoda, to be on the duchan, to be the mesharim, the Beis Mikdash, to be in the Sanhedrin, to be the shomrei, Shotrei Arabim and Gabai Tzedakah, why we assume that people in all of those positions are already miyuchas, and therefore you don't have to check any further. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of public positions in general, and whether a ger is allowed to hold a public position, or which public positions a ger is allowed to hold, and which he's not allowed to hold. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to get into the yichus of the chayola shel Beis David, and if we actually finish the daf, the Gemara is going to mention something about a haircut, which is going to be our daf yomi coincidence of the day for Lag BaOmer, so we'll have to hopefully try to get to that as well. So let's begin about 12 lines before the end of the page. Eloki Asa Ravin. So again, we're explaining why is it that Reb Lazar holds a Kuti is not allowed to marry a Kutis. Normally you say Matzah Minas Mino, the two are exactly the same, they have the same exact Yichus, so what's the problem that they marry each other? Why can't a Kuti marry a Kutis? So the Gemara is going to explain this fourth explanation that we're giving now is based on the Gemara is going to elaborate on three different understandings of what exactly the history of the Kutim is. And the third of those three understandings will explain why a Kuti cannot marry a Kutis. So, Elakias, Ravanam, Rabbi Chibar, Rabbi Yochanan, Ramilam, Rabbi Abba Barzivdam, Rabbi Chanin, Ramilam, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Shoban Levi, Shalosh Machlokas Badavar. There are three different understandings of what exactly the history of the Kutim are. Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Kutim Geri Arayos, saying that the Kutim are Geri Arayos, which means that they convert only because of the fear of the lions, and therefore their conversion was invalid. And the Kohanim who got mixed in with the Kutim were all pasul Kohanim anyway. That's why they're called Kohanei Bamos. They are from the Kotzim Shabam, from the thorns of the nation, and that's why they were pasled. Rabbi Akiva Sava, Rabbi Akiva's the second approach as to what the history of the Kutim is that Kutim Gerei Emesheim. Kutim were legitimate converts. Later on in history, they proved themselves to be unloyal and unfaithful converts because they were Oved Demus Yona, so we certainly can't trust a Kuti, and that's why the Mishnayos talk about that you're not supposed to trust a Kuti. But initially when they converted, they were Gerei Emes, says Rabbi Akiva. The Kohanim Shenitbu Ben Kohanim Ksherim Hayu. And the Kohanim that got mixed in with them were kosher kohanim. Shneva v'yasulam miktsosim kohane bamos v'am rabba b'chanan rabbi yochanan mina bechirim shaba'am. That the pasuk is telling us that the kohanim that were mixed in were from the bechirim shaba'am, were from the greatest, from the choicest of the people. Vel mipnei ma'asrum. Well, if they were the choicest of the people, then what was the problem? Why do we have any iser with the kutim? They were gerei emes, and the kohanim that were mixed in were the bechirim shaba'am. So mnei shayu miyavim es harusos upotim es hanesuos, because they had a different interpretation of the halacha of Yibum. They held, the halacha really is, that whether a girl is an arusa or a nesua, doesn't matter which stage of marriage she's up to. If her husband dies and they don't have any children, and the husband has a brother, she requires Yibum. But they held that only in Erisin, ironically, only if all they had was Erisin, will they require Yibum. But if she was already a nesua, it's potem es nesua. So they would pater her from chalitz, from Yibum. They would be, so essentially, they'd be matir, Yivama l'shu. They would allow a girl who really needed Yibum to just marry whoever she wanted to marry. What is the Isser of Yivam L'shuk? That is an Isser Lav. we're working within the sheet over here of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Chayave Lavin are creates Mamzerus, that if there's a forbidden relationship, even if it's not Chayave Misbezer or even Chayave Krisus, it's only Chayave Lavin, that creates Mamzerus. So Rabbi Akiva holds that this is a big problem, the fact that they were Matri Yivam L'shuk, that causes all sorts of Mamzerus. My Darshi, why would they think that once a girl has Nisuin, that she doesn't need Yibam anymore? What was their drasha? So the drasha was the pasuk when it talks about the issue of Amalushuk, it says Lotia Eshes Hames Hachutza LeIshzar. The Eshes Hames, who is Hachutza, who's an outside one, should not go LeIshzar. So what does that mean? The way they darshaned it was that it's not that and the Eish Sameis should not go out to marry an Ishzar. It means the Eish Sameis, who is a chutza, who's not living in the, who was never living in her husband's house. She was outside of her husband's house, meaning all she had was Erisin. For such a woman, there's an Isser to be Le'ishzar. For such a woman, there is an Isser of Yivam L'shuk. Aval hach delo yasva chutza, but a woman who was not living outside of her husband's house, a woman who was living in her husband's house because she already had Nisuin, Tia Le'ishzar. So she, Taka, can go marry an Ishzar. She can marry whoever she wants. She doesn't need Yibam or Chalitza. That's how they incorrectly darshan the pasuk. Rabbi Akiva l'taymei, and this is Rabbi Akiva l'shitaso. Damar yesh mamzer mechayav ilavin. That since the whole problem with the kutim was that they were matir yavam l'shuk, and that's an isur lav. Rabbi Akiva holds that is as significant a problem as you could have. That creates mamzerus according to Rabbi Akiva. V'yesh omrim, and then the third approach as to what the issue is with the kutim is l'fi she'in b'kiin b'dikduke mitzvos, that they weren't so careful about dikduke mitzvos, and because of that, that's the yesh omrim that we're going to say is the reason for Rabbi Lazar that a kuti is not allowed to marry a kutis, because they're not careful about dikduke mitzvos. And the Gemara is going to elaborate which mitzvos we're talking about that they were not b'kiin, and then we'll see why it is that a kuti is not allowed to marry a kutis. Man yesh omrim. Who are these yesh omrim? Amar Avidi Baravin Rabbi Lazar hi. It's Rabbi Lazar. Detanya matzas kuti muteras. V'adam yotze b'yidei chavasov pesach. Tanakama holds, if a kuti makes a matzah, you can assume that it's not chametz, it's mutter in Pesach, but not only that, you can even be yotze the mitzvah at the Lela Seder with matzah made by a kuti. We assume that it's even made lishma, and it's perfectly fine for the mitzvah of matzah, but for Rabbi Eliezer Oser, lefishe in bekiyim b'tikduke mitzvos. Rabbi Eliezer says no good, because they're not bekiyim b'tikduke mitzvos. That idea, they're not being bekiyim b'tikduke mitzvos, is the idea of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's going to be the explanation, because of that lack of bekius b'tikduke mitzvos is going to be the explanation of why a kuti cannot marry a kutis. But we haven't gotten to why yet. What about a lack of concern with the details of mitzvos? It makes it problematic for them to marry each other. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer kol mitzvah shechziku b'kutim harbe medakting b'yosem Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's interesting that those mitzvos that they did observe, they observed quite well, and they were more careful about those mitzvos than regular Jews are careful about those mitzvos, but it's just those mitzvos that they don't observe. V'lahacha my ein b'kiyin. So over here, in our context, what's the ein b'kiyin that we're concerned about that's going to cause a kuti not to marry a kutis? L'fishen b'kiyin b'toros kiddushin v'gerushin. It's because they're not b'kiyin b'toros kiddushin v'gerushin. They're not careful about the laws of kiddushin and gerushin. Now that obviously causes significant mamzerus problems. So you could have one kuti who comes from ksherim and one kuti who comes from mamzerim. So you can't marry them. They can't marry each other because you never know who's who within the kutim. Some of them are mamzerim. That's the explanation. That's the fourth explanation for why Rabbi Lazar holds a kuti cannot marry a kutis. Rashi points out l'fi shein b'kiin asrum l'kaman mefarish l'nyuchsin. Right. That's what we just explained. That it's all about yichus. L'nyuchsin my b'kiin ika. That it's all about what is the b'kiin about yichus? And we just explained it's gittin v'kiddushin. Hilkach l'Rabbi Eliezer kuti l'yisa kutis shema echad min habekiyin shelo ira psul b'nisui avosav. Maybe one of this couple, meaning this couple that wants to get married, the kuti and the kutis, one of them does not come from a pasul family. There was no no problem of getting in kiddushin in his lineage, vasheni, but the other member of the couple, let's say the girl, mishen and bikiyin, maybe she comes from a family where they were not bikiyin. V'ira safek eshesish b'kiddushi avosov shen eskat shel acher v'ramo in kiddushin v'nisis na'achar. And maybe there's a shayla of eshesish somewhere in the lineage, which is going to mean that there's a shayla of mamzerus in the lineage. So that's going to be a significant problem, that a kuti is not allowed to marry a kutis. Now with the Rishonim already raised the issue, that Rashi writes that in Bikin b'tor is getting b'kiddushin, so that's why a kuti is not allowed to marry a kutis, for this reason that he's going to marry, it's going to be a regular, someone without the problems in their background, marrying someone with mamzeres in the background. So the Rishonim raised the question, but a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Meaning, what are you worried about? You're worried about that one of them is a regular kuti. A kuti is, at the best, a ger emes. So at best, a kuti is a ger. So what are you worried about? That a ger is going to marry a mamzeres? Good, let a ger marry a mamzeres. There's no problem with a ger marrying a mamzeres. So the Ramban writes, or Reb Lazar holds, that a ger is usher mamzeres. And this is working within the sheet of Reb Lazar. Then the Ramban says that Rabbi Kiva holds that they also had kranim ksherim, that married ksherim mixed in. So those vlad, those children, are going to be Yisraelim gemurim. Since there were kranim ksherim, whom yuchasim should be Yisrael, that were mixed in, you have to worry that maybe amongst the kutim, there are also perfectly kashrim yuchastika people. So that's going to be a problem. And that's Rabbi Lazarus Shitaso, that a shtuki is asr b'shtukis, that anyone who has a safik yichus is not allowed to marry anyone else who has a safik yichus. And therefore, a kuti is asr b'kutis, even though a kuti is a safik mamzer and a safik kal. So that's those are the terutzim that the Ramban gives as to why it is that this creates a concern, just because there's mamzerus amongst the kutim. Tosav here raises a different point, which is fascinating, a couple of different points. Matzas kuti mutaris, and parenthetically, when the Gemara had mentioned that the matzah of a kuti is mutter, so pirish mutaris liachle pesach vein ba mishum chashash adachim utzvadim yasi dobe chavasum pesach b'lei liyam tov rishon shachilas achova v'lovi kikamachum v'tzeko shalovi kichavim tekaim landom malakresman v'lach yoch nzayis matzah b'achrona. Tosav points out two separate statements we see over here. Number one is that matzas kuti is mutaris, which means it's not chametz, and number two, that it's yotzi yidei chavasum b'lei liyam tov rishon v'pesach, which means that you could assume that it's lishma, that it's even good for the mitzvah. But then Fractal Sim Tomar Vamrinan Kala Ochel Paskuti Kilo Ochel Chazim. But doesn't the Pirkei de Reb Lazar tell us that if you eat paskuti, that's like eating pig. It's pasakum, it's a violation of a halacha, you're not allowed to eat paskuti. Vishlomer dahin dafka pas shakuti lush. Va'osa bebeso, avali isa shakuti osa bebeso shel Yisrael mutter. That when do we say that there's an iser of eating pas kuti? That's only if the kuti makes that pas in his own house. But if the kuti doesn't make that pas in his own house, he makes it bebeso shel Yisrael, then that's going to be mutter. Then Tosus points out v'nira, a big chiddush. When we say you could be yotze your mitzvah with pas kuti, how to come from yotze v'yodei chavaso haynu dafka shegama kuti yochal mimena. It has to be that the kuti is sharing of that same matzah with you. Because if he's not eating that same matzah with you, you have to assume that that matzah is not good for the mitzvah. Because while a kuti is careful about matzah, with those mitzvahs that a kuti observes, he observes carefully, but he's not careful about lifnei v'lasitin michshal. He may translate lifnei v'lasitin michshal in its literal form, that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, but he doesn't think it's a problem to cause someone else to do an iser. So since he's not makbid about lifnei iver, that's why a person has to make sure that if you're going to use matzah's kuti, that the kuti is also using the matzah, so he's not violating lifnei iver. Now the Sefer Zecher Yitzchak, according to the Masifta over here, points out from this Tosos, that l'chor you see a big chiddush in lifnei iver over here, that we normally assume lifnei iver means I cause someone else to violate an iser, to violate a losaseh, violate a lav, that's lifnei iver. But when cause someone else not to do a mitzvah sasei, is that lifnei iver necessarily? So he didn't do a mitzvah sasei. You see from this Tosfos that yes, that even a bittul mitzvah sasei is lifnei iver, because even though the Gemara in Pesachim and Chav Beis, when it talks about lifnei iver, it says that you're machshalim with a lav, Tosfos holds that it's hu adin, if you cause him even bittul mitzvah sasei, because that's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about the second half. Remember we said that it's two things, and one matzah kuti is muteras, that it's not chametz. Second, that you Yotze Yidei Chavaso. Tosfos is going on that second statement, that Yotze Yidei Chavaso, but only if he partakes of it as well. So Yotze Yidei Chavaso is about a mitzvah saseh. It's not about a lo saseh. And the Sefer Shari Chaim, he quotes, points out that the Ritvan Sukkot, Afiram Beis, quotes the Gemara over there, that Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna went to the Reish Galusa on Sukkot. They went to visit the Reish Galusa on Sukkot, and Rav Nachman let them sit in a sukkah where the decorations were hanging very low, four tfachim off of the schach, which he held was kosher and they held was pasul. So the Ritva asks, how could Rav Nachman do that? Isn't that a violation of Lifnei V'Lasit and Michshal? Because they hold that it's pasul. So how can you let them do something that they hold is pasul according to Lishitasam? It's a bracha levatala, which by the way is a fascinating idea. If I hold something's mutter and you hold something's aser, but I learned the sugya, I really hold it's mutter. So am I allowed to just not tell you and cause you to do what I hold is mutter, but what you hold is aser? The Ritva works with the assumption that no, if you had an honest to goodness approach with, it's legitimate, and your legitimate approach is that it's aser, then it's absolutely lifnei iver for me to cause you to do it, because that is one of the applications of Elu Velu Devar Elokim Chayim. I can't say, well, I know better, and therefore it's no big deal for you to do it. If you hold that it's aser, then it's a violation of lifnei iver. So that's what the Ritva asks. Now, from the fact that the Ritva says, and what's the lifnei iver over here? The Ritva says they're going to make a bracha levatala. Well, what about bracha levatala? What about the fact that they're not going to be in sukkah? According to them, they're sleeping outside of a sukkah, they're eating outside of a sukkah. What's the hakam bracha levatala? So says Shari Chaim, you see that the Ritva holds that it can only be lifnei iver if you're causing them to do an iser. If you're causing them not to do a mitzvah, so sukkah, yeah, you're not allowed to eat or sleep outside of a sukkah, but that's really that's an iser asay. That's an asay. But an asay is not lifnei iver. So you see that the Ritva holds against this Tosfos. So an interesting ha'ara, this idea of lifnei iver on a mitzvah saseh. Is there such an inyan of lifnei iver when you cause someone to be mevatel a mitzvah saseh? Okay, then now the Gemara moves on to the fifth answer as to why it is that a kuti is not allowed to marry a kutis. Rav Nachman Amar Rav Aravua mamzer me'achoso mamzer me'eshes ach nesarvu behen. There are all types of mamzerim mixed in with the kuti people. What types of mamzerim? A mamzer where a guy marries his sister and they have a child. A mamzer where a guy marries his brother's wife and they have a child. Those types of mamzerim specifically were the types of mamzerim that were common amongst the kutim. What is he trying to tell me by giving me two examples of mamzerus that were mixed in? Nisni chada, just say one, meaning both of these examples are examples of chayav krisos. So good, you want to tell me that mamzerus is not only created by chayav misus beizdin, but even by chayav krisos? Why do you have to give both of these examples? Nisni chada, give one example. Says Gemara, we're not giving examples, we're explaining what happened. This is what the kutim did, meaning we didn't just stomp give two examples of two types of ways that mamzerus could theoretically happen. We're describing what happened with the kutim, and these are the kinds of mamzerus that they actually had. Then the sixth answer, the Gemara says, why a kuti cannot marry a kutis? Rava Amar Eved v'shivcha nisarvu behen, that both avadim and shvachos mixed in. So you could end up having a person who's marrying an eved, marrying a shivcha, and not realizing it. So yisura mishamai, mishum shivcha. What's the real issue over here? The issue is the shivcha. The issue is not the eved. So if the ovid chavim ve'eved abal bas yisrael, the vlad is kosher. So that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is only the shivcha, because the vlad is going to be miucha sachareha. The vlad's not going to be kosher. So why do you have to mention both Eved and Shivcha? Nisni Chada. Just mention the problem. Mention that there's a Shivcha mixed in. You don't have to mention the Eved. And says Gemara again, Maisa Shaya Kachaya. We're not trying to identify what a problem might be. We're trying to explain what actually happened. And what actually happened is that both Avadim and Shvachos. Now, it's true, the Avadim aren't a problem in terms of the Yichus. The Shvachos are, though. So when we describe the problem, Mimela, we understand why it is that a Kuti cannot marry a Kutis. He may end up marrying someone who's a Vlad Shivcha, which would be a significant problem. Good, now we move on to the next mission. The mission discusses how far one has to be bodek into the yichus before getting married. I mean, we think it's a modern concept that you check into the families before getting married. The checks they did back then were much more thorough than the halavai they should have only asked about the tablecloths or whatever ridiculous questions they're asked. The checks were were as follows. Hanosi Isha Kohenes. A person is marrying an Isha Kohenes. Rashi points out over here, sometimes when we say Kohenes or Kohen, we just mean someone who's Miuchas. We don't necessarily mean Kohen in particular, but over here it's Dafka Nakat. Because when you're marrying a Levi of Yisraelis, the Bedika goes even further, we're about to see in the Mishnah. It goes even much further. But someone who marries Kohenes, Sarich Livdok Achareha, Arba Imahus Shein Shmona. One has to check into four different mothers, which really turns out to be eight. Who you check into, meaning four different women and their mothers. You have to check in that family before you marry the Kohenes. Who are they? Ima, you check the girl's mother, Ve'emima, and her mother. Second is Ve'ema via Ima, you have to check the mother of her mother's father, and Ve'ima, and the mother of the mother of her mother's father. And then third, Ve'ema via, you have to check her father's mother, Ve'ima, and her father's mother's mother. And then finally, Ve'em avi aviha, you have to check her father's father's mother, Ve'ima, and her mother as well. So you have to go back all those generations. And then Levi of Yisraelis, in case that's not enough for you, Mosifin Alein Orachas. If you're going to marry Levi of Yisraelis, you got to go back another generation. You have to go back one more mother in each of those sets. So it turns out to be 12, meaning it's not Arba Shem Shmon, it's Arba Shem Shtemesrei. Because in each set, you go back one more mother in searching the Yichus. What are we searching for over here? So Rashi says, Botkin Shloim Mamzerus, Oachas Min Apsulus Lakal, that we're searching that there shouldn't be Mamzerus. There shouldn't be a psul kal. Tosos quotes that from Rashi, and Tosos points out that he doesn't think that that's correct. He says v'lo nihira. It doesn't seem correct because we're about to see in the Gemara midaparach Gemara vi'i nami tivdok b'didei. The Gemara is going to ask, why doesn't the girl check into the guy's family? It's only the guy checking into the girl. So the Gemara answers m'shani lo huzruk sheros linasi l'psulim, that there's no problem of a girl marrying a pasul guy. The problem is only a guy. The girl does not have an iser to marry a pasul guy. The guy only has an issue to marry a puzzle girl. Well, wait a second. If we're checking for mamzerus over here, absolutely there's an issue for a girl to marry a mamzer. If you're talking about a halala, a guy wants to be a kohen, he wants his children to be kohanim, so you better not marry a halala. So yeah, in a chinami, that's a problem with the guy. The girl has no issue with that because the kuna is not going to go after her anyway. And benos yisrael are mikvah tara lechalalim, so their children are going to be kosher anyway. So that I get. But umay kamer, who's really not the mamzerim? But if you're just talking about mamzerim, certainly you have to worry. The girl has to worry about that as well. So if you look at the amal uzru, haynu dafkul inasel chol kamer of mamzerim lo. So the kach tzarich lomer the chashashin masis numishum chalalos. Therefore, Tos says the whole concern that we're checking into over here is a kohen family, and he's worried about chalalos. Avum shem mamzerus lo shayich chashasha klal the makiri sol mamzerim shabneim. The problem with Tos is Pshat, and Tos immediately recognizes it, is if the whole concern of here is chalalos, and it's all about maintaining the Yichus of Kahuna, then why does the Mishnah go on to say, and by Levi of Yisraelis, you better check even more? What do you mean, check even more by Levi? If you're looking for Chalalus, you know who cannot possibly be a Chalal? A Levi or a Yisrael. Chalal only means that they come from a family of Kohanim that was Nischalel. A Levi and Yisrael, there's not going to be an issue of Chalalus. So he says, Miyotema, Ketani Levi of Yisraelis, Mosif Norachas, V'ilo Batke, Elo B'psul Chalalus, Levi of Yisraelis, Amai Tzrichim B'dika. They shouldn't need B'dika, Kim Davo Levi or Yisrael, E'ef Shar B'shuminyan, Lios B'psul Chalala. They can't be a Chalala. Shari L'kuliyam, B'nei Yisrael, Mikvatar L'chalal. The girl would for sure be kosher lakuna if it was Yisrael that married a halala somewhere along the line. You don't have to check into halalas when you're talking about a Levi of Yisraelis. So it says Tosos a Chiddush, that it's some sort of fusion between Shitas Rashi and Shitas Tosos. The Ikar Bedika, why are we really being bodek? The Ikar Bedika of a Takan is Mishum Psul Halalos. Oh, but once you're checking for halalus, you might as well check for mamzerus as well. Agav b'dikah de halalus, batki nami echad lo shayach al psul mamzerus. So we check even when there's not even a concern for halalus, where the whole concern is only going to be a concern for mamzerus, like by Levi Yisraelis. But the girl, where there's no psul halalus at all, where lo husruk sherus linasi l'psulin, you don't have to check even for mamzerus. That explains why the Gemara says that the girl doesn't have to check into the guy. Vayter in the Mishnah, who does not need any checking? Ain botkin lomin amizbeach lemaila. If someone who's ready being offered by the mizbeach, you don't have to be botek any further from that. Velomin aduchan lemaila. Levi was ready serving on the duchan. He was ready doing the shira. V'lomen a Sanhedrin, l'mayla someone was serving the Sanhedrin. V'kol shulksku avos of mishotrei rabbim, and anyone who had a public position of authority. V'gabay tzedaka or gabay tzedaka, and all these people masiyin l'kuna vein sarik livdok achrein. No bedika is necessary. You could assume they've already been vetted because to get to the position that they got to, they had to have already been vetted. Rabbi Yossi Omer af mishaya chasum aid be'erkei hashana shel tzipori. Even someone who signed on an aid in a certain beis din, they've already been vetted as well. Rabbi Chinen ben Tigenus Omer af mishaya muchtav be Istratya Shel Melech, which the Gemara is going to explain, anyone who went out to the Chayel Shel Beis David, who served in David's army, also already been vetted, has already been very certified to be of strong yichus, and therefore you check the girl's father, and you see that he's already one of those positions. You don't have to start checking his mother and his mother's mother, etc. You could assume that once that you've hit a point where that's already good. A couple of points over here. The Rambam writes in Bias Mikdash Parak Vav Alach Yid Beis that a Kohen that Beis and checked and he found that he's miyuchas, even though he's a balmum, he could be cholik bekachim and he's eino oved. He doesn't do the avoda. So the argadol is medayik in the Rambam that even for achilas kachim, the beis in the lishchus agaz would check the kohanim, not just for avoda. That even for so even though our mishnah says we're not bodik min hamizbeach l'mayla, l'chora could have said ein bodkin min ha achilas kachim ulamayla, because even if he's a balmum and he can't do the avoda, but it's achilas kachim, the Rambam says there must have been a bedika. So they ask just what's the source of the Rambam? Where does it say that? So they bring us the source, the Gemara at the very beginning of Pesachim, Daf Gimel and Beis, that there was a, when they were dividing up the Lechem Apanim, one Kohen says, "Ah, I got a piece that's the size of a zanav halta, the tail of a weasel." And because he spoke about kachim food in such a way, about karbonos in such a way, they were bodik and they found a shemetz psul. So the Gemara says, "How could they find a shemetz psul? Ain bodkin minam esbeach l'mayla. You're not supposed to be bodik at that point." So who says minam esbeach? Who says this Kohen was doing the avoda? Maybe he was a balmum and he wasn't doing the avoda, but he was allowed to eat lechem apanim. So you see, the Gemara is working with the assumption that if you're eating lechem apanim, normally in botkin. The Gemara says, yeah, but if there's a reyus, the guy is talking like such a crass way about kachim, then you are bodik. But typically speaking, even achilas kachim, that's the source of the Rambam, that we're not bodik for achilas kachim. But it's not the only thing missing from the list. L'chara, there are other things that only a Kohen can do that are missing from this list of ein botkin. And that's what Tosus points out on Amud Beis. The Tosus is misplaced a little bit. Tosus points out, Vim Tomer Nisni Nami ein botkin min Nisiyas Kapayim Ulamayla, Umi Truma Ulamayla, a coin duchen, a coin's eating truma. Shouldn't we say that that's also a raya? So he said, Yeshom de Gamze, Eno Rabusa, Kivin de Loshayach al Bakanim. Of course we're not bodik from those things, because only a coin can do those things. But avoda, there are certain avodos, namely shchita, that you don't need a coin for. So one might have thought that if a coin is doing shchita, maybe he's not really a coin and you still need to be bodik. So that's the chiddush, that even if he's a shchita's ksher bizar, nevertheless, we assume that that only the ksherim yuchasim were actually doing the shchita, and that's why it's an extra chiddush that in both kinnun mizbech lemaila. Okay, it says the Gemara, Maishna benashi bat kinnun, Maishna begavri lo batku. Why is it that we only check into the women? We're not checking into the men. So nashi dechiminatzu ba'adi adadi ba'arayus dechiminatzu v'imisa di'ika milsa lois lekala. When women get into fights with each other, they start making accusations about each other's sneers, about how they violate our arayus. So whatever dirt we're going to dig up on them is going to be on in that regard, and therefore if there's something, it's something about yichus, it's not necessarily going to come up because they're just talking about each other's pritzos. But gavri dechiminatzu ba'adi biyuchsin dechiminatzi. But when men get into a fight with each other, they call each other mamzerim and avadim and all sorts of things like that. They start attacking each other's yichus im isa diika milsa isleikala. So then, if there's if a woman gets into a fight with another woman, she's not talking about that woman's mother. She's going to talk about how you behave. When a guy gets into a fight with another guy, he's going to say, "Oh, your mother was this, your mother was that," and he's going to disparage the other one's yichus. So once someone is disparaging someone's yichus, that's where it's going to be checked into memela, meaning everyone's going to say, "Oh, is that true?" And people are going to look into it. So it's already as if it's already pre-vetted. You don't have to think about it. The ihi nami tivdok bei bididei. So I asked the Gemara, okay, I understand why we're not checking the fathers, but why aren't the girls checking the guys? Meaning, I understand when the guy is checking into the girl, he only has to check the girls, the mothers of everybody. He doesn't have to check the fathers of everybody. But why doesn't the girl have to check into the guys' mothers, into the women on the guys' side? They say, Ele l'rav, dam ravi dam rav, lohusru ksheros ninase l'psulim. There's a raya to rav that ksheros don't have a problem of marrying psulim. Remember, this is what Tosus pointed out. According to Rashi, this is very difficult. If the whole issue is an issue of mamzerus, what do you mean? You don't have to, they don't have to check into psulim. The girls don't have an isser of marrying psulim. Of course girls have an isser of marrying mamzerim. That's what led Tosus to believe that the issue over here is halalus, that a girl has no concerns about halalus because she herself is going to be a mikvatara lechalalin, that her children are going to be fine. Ravad Barava tani dalinimo shem shtemes, right? Ravad Barava learned our Mishnah that it's not four that are eight, but it's really four that are 12. That you really go up another three generations by each of the four categories, and really turns out you're checking 16 women. So Bishlam the Ravad Barava, I understand Ravad Barava where he gets to 12 Mukimla Bilavio Bas Yisrael, because our Mishnah actually did say 12 when you're dealing with the Levio Bas Yisrael. El Masnisa name of Pliga, but the idea of 16, that's got to be against our Mishnah. Says Marlo, my od achas zug achas. Maybe when it says by Levio Bas Yisrael you do another achas. Maybe it means another pair, so it means another two mothers up in the line, and that's how you get to 16. Amar v'dom Rav Zudivre Meir Avol Chamamrim Kol Mishpachus Pcheskos Ksherin Hein On Dos. That Rav holds that the Chacham would disagree with all of this, and you could just assume Kashrus. Eini v'amar Chacham Barguri Amar Rav Mishrasen K'shkori Alav Irer. But doesn't Rav say that our Mishnah is talking about where you K'shkori Alav Irer? So it's a stira in Rav. So it says Mar Man Masniha Lo Masniha. The one who says one statement of Rav didn't say the other statement of Rav, meaning the second statement of Rav is that it's only Kshkara Lav Ira that you don't need Bedika, but if you only need Bedika if two people were said that there's a Shemetz Psul and not Edus Gemurah, but it's Yis Kol. So since Kara Lav Ira, so why would the Rabbanan disagree? I mean, it doesn't make sense to say that the Rabbanan would disagree with our Mishnah if the Mishnah, all the Mishnah is saying is that when you have two people going around saying that there's a Shemetz Psul, that's when you need to check. Of course, Rabbanan would agree with that. That if there's rumors going around that there's a Shemetz Psul, that needs to be checked into. So it's a stira in Rav. The Gemara says, yeah, it's a machlokas, what Rav actually said. The one who reported one thing from Rav didn't report the other thing from Rav. And that's the kind of machlokas. Rashi writes in Maseches Ksuvos that we don't say, Zeilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Whenever two people are arguing about what somebody said, well, he only said one of those things. He didn't say both. So that's why we don't say, Zeilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. We just don't know which is which. Another version is that that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Chum hold all mishpachos or becheskos kashrus. Amar Chum Barguriam Rav im kara lav yira tzarich livdok achreha. But if someone was kara lav yira, even the Chum would be moda that you need to be bodek. You need to check further. Ain bodekin minem zbeach lemayla. Mishnah said once the guy has been doing avodah ben zbeach, you don't have to be bodek any further. My time, ilavdu betkua lo v'maskilei. Because had they not vetted him already, he never would have been allowed by the Mizbeach in the first place. If Levi was serving on the Duchan, he was doing the singing in the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't have to be bodek any further. That only the most miyuchasim were allowed on the Duchan. So again, pre-vetted. V'lomi Sanhedrin al-Maila, and once someone's on the Sanhedrin, you don't have to check any further. My time, Ditan Rav Yosef, K'shem Shebezim Menukim B'tzedek, Kach Menukim Nikol Mum. Just like Beis Din has to be perfectly righteous, they're also not allowed to have any mum. Amr, and that means a mum in their yichus. Amr Meremer, Mikra, what's the pasuk that tells us that? Kulcha Yafar Rayasi, Umum Ein Bach. So, frankly, Gemara, how do you know that means yichus? Emu mumu mamish. Maybe it just means they're not allowed to have a physical blemish. Amr Ravach Bar Yaakov Amakra, another pasuk, Vizyatsu Sham Imach. Imach bedomlach. Imcha means that they have to be like you. What does it mean, like you? That they don't have a mum. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told to choose. Zekanim, we're going to serve on the Sanhedrin. They have to be like him, that they don't have a mum. But maybe that just means that in that generation, because the Shechina was amongst them, that's why they needed to have to be so miyuchastik. But maybe for future generations, there's no such requirement. So the Machna points out, l'chor, it has to be for future generations, because everyone was miyuchas in that generation. They were all born before Matan Torah, so there were no yichus issues until Matan Torah. So didn't it have to be future generations? Interesting kasha. But anyway, the Gemara answers, Amram Nachman, Amram Kra, V'akel me'alech v'nasu itach b'itcha b'domim lach, that they should be totally with you from that extra v'nasu itcha, we darshan that b'domim lach, that they have to be clean of any mum in their yichus as well. Call me shuchskuavos of mishotri arabim. Say that if their forefathers were officers of the people, so then they were appointed to positions of authority over the people, then you don't have to check any further. The meimer delamak minu mipsulim. Does that mean we don't appoint psulim to be a police chief or something? Or minu akol kshem ladin dinim mamlus vina akol kshem ladin dinim fashos, that anyone could be dan dinim mamlus minat dinim fashos vavin ba akol lasuye mai. What does akol come to include? Vamer Rav Yehuda lasuye mamzer. That even a mamzer is allowed to be dan dinei mamonos. How can you say only a miyuchas is in a position of authority? Amar Rabbi b'Yerushalayim, mechein tan Rabbi Shimon ben Zera b'kedushin de'Levi b'Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim it was different. In Yerushalayim they only had miyuchasim. V'gabei tzedakah masiyim, and we said a gabei tzedakah also is assumed to have good yichus. My taima, kiven de menatzu b'hadi inchi damar menashkin al tzedakah v'afilu b'erev Shabbos. Gabei tzedakah is always getting into fights with people because it says that a gabei tzedakah it could take a mashkin from someone even at a stressful time like erev Shabbos in order to insist that the person gives tzedakah. So if he's getting into fights with people all the time, v'misa di'ika istay kala. So if there was a psalm li'ichus, one of his victims, one of the people who's unhappy with him, is going to bring out that psalm li'ichus. The fact that it hasn't come out shows that it must not exist. Tosfos Maseches Babas and Daf Ches raises the question about forcing someone to do tzedakah. Generally speaking, the rule is that we're not kofet to be mekayim mitzvah shematan schar b'tzida. The Gemara Chulin says that you can't force someone to do mitzvah sasei where the schar is written b'tzida by tzedakah. It's a mitzvah shematan schar b'tzida. The pasuk says ki b'glal adavar zeh yivracha Hashem elkecha b'chol ma'asecha b'chol mishlach yedecha. So we see b'feirush the schar is written right there in the Torah. So Tosfos says, how are they allowed to be kofan tzedakah? It's mitzvah shematan schar b'tzida. Tosfos and Babasu give several answers. Ritva brings it up over here as well because it says that there will be mimashkin an erev Shabbos. So apparently they're forcing to give tzedakah. Tosfos over there gives several answers. Quotes from Ben Tam, that the kfiya wasn't actually that they were physically forced them. It was kfiya bedvarim. They would convince them to give the tzedakah. The Reis suggests that tzedakah, you're not kofa because of the mitzvah sasei, you're kofa for the mitzvah losasei. There's a losasei of tzedakah, losamis, losikbots, you're not allowed to close your heart or your hand. The Ritzba is quoted by Tosfos saying that bezin could be kofa on a mitzvah that's matzah schar b'tzida. What the Gemara Chulin means is that bezin is not punished if they're not kofa, meaning that bezin is not held accountable for not being kofa, but certainly they're allowed to be kofa. The host of Ravad Barava was a ger. And this guy, this ger and Rav Bibi were getting into an argument. One said, I want to be the position of Sarara, whatever, the shul president. I want to be in the position of Sarara. So they came to Rav Yosef. That you could appoint a king from Kerevechecha. That anyone who's appointed to a position of authority has to be from amongst your brothers. Amalei Rav Ada Barava, filu imo mi Yisrael, even if his mother is mi Yisrael. Amalei imo mi Yisrael mikarav achecha karina bei. No, imo mi Yisrael is not a ger anymore. That we would call mikarav achecha, and he could be appointed to a position of authority. Hilchah Rav Bibi digav Rabba havulayin b'mili d'shmaya. So he says, let's come to a compromise. Rav Bibi is a big talmid chacham. Let him be in charge of spiritual matters of the community. Umar la'ayin b'mili d'masa, and you're an important person, but you're not a big talmid chacham, so you'll be in charge of the physical needs of the community. Amar Rabbi Hilchah man de mashri tzur me rabbanu bush b'schinei la ashrei krav ad bar ava diyada de mahabach le b'schusei. If you want to host a Talmud Chacham, do make it someone like Rav Ada Bar Ava, who knows how to come up with good solutions and he knows how to argue for your zechus, for your benefit, like he did for this ger. Rabbi Zera metapel b'hu. Rabbi Zera would try to find good positions for gerim. Rabbi Baravua metapel b'hu, and Rabbi Baravua would do the same. But Marava afilu reish kuri lo mukmi minayu. But in Eretz Yisrael they they wouldn't even allow a ger to be in charge of the measuring utensils. Benarda afilu resh gargusa lo mukmi minayu. They wouldn't even allow him to be in charge of watering the fields that needed watering, meaning nothing. If the word in charge appears anywhere in the job description, a ger couldn't do it. Rav Moshe writes that the definition of srara is where you have the ability to do something against someone else's will. You can force someone. He has a famous tshuva about whether a woman is allowed to be mashkiach for kashrus. So he says that a person to be a mashkiach in kashrus is a minu of srara, because you could say that all the food is no good, and that you could get them to do things that they otherwise don't want to do. So Mesh says she could be a mashkiach if she's working for a rav hamachshir. She just can't be the rav hamachshir. Rabbi Yosef Rav Misha Haya, my time, daiku machtami, that the people who served as edim in certain places, also you know that they're miyuchas. So Chaim ben Tigna said that even people who went out for a certain position, Amar of Yudam or Shmuel b'chayel shal beistavid, it means people who fought in David's army are miyuchasim. Amar of Yosef my krav is yachsam b'tzavim milchama. The time of my, why are they miyuchasim? Amar Yudam Rav, kidei shetei zchusam zchus chavosam misayatan. We want them to have zchus avos when they fight. Va'ikat selaka amoni, wasn't he an amoni person? My lav dasi me amon, and he fought for David, lo diyasav b'amon. It means he lived in Amon. V'iko uri achiti, my love dasi mecheis, isn't he achiti? Lo diyasav b'cheis, he lived in cheis. V'iko itay agiti, v'chitei malchanami diyasav b'gas, you're going to say he just lived there. V'amar Rav Nachman asi itay agiti ba'u bitla, he was mevatel in avodazara, only a goy could be mevatel avodazara, and he fought for David. V'od amar v'idom rav, arba meyo siladim ayu lo David, v'klum b'nei yifas torah, v'klum mistaprum komi, megalim belorus ayu. David had 400 children who had these funny haircuts like goyim, and they were children of Yifas Torah, v'kulim yoshu m'kroni yoshal zava, yimalchum b'roshay geyosos, and they led the charge of David's army. V'hein in bali agrobin shal beis David, they're considered the strong men of the beis David. So how can you say that everyone that fought for David is a miyuchas? These are b'nei Yifas Torah. So the azli l'busei alma. Now they would just lead the troops at the beginning in order to scare the enemies, because goyim look a lot scarier than the Jews that were going to lead behind, that were going to follow behind, but the actual fighters for the beis David were miyuchasim. Okay, v'ashom, pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.